No better way to kick off that weekend a little early here on a Friday than by talking some Disney. But before we do that, how about a quick word from our sponsors? That's our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to head to a Disney destination, it's that time of the year. Let's plan that next trip. Whether you're headed to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line, work with one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Right now is a great time to plan that fall 2017 Walt Disney World vacation. Rooms are filling up fast, so if you want to head down for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, now's the time to grab that room or put that package together. And I'd love to personally help you plan that trip because it's an awesome time to travel. I go every year, and I want to help you learn some of the inside tricks to make the most of this Walt Disney World vacation. All you got to do is drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and we'll be working together planning that next Disney adventure, and I promise you, it's going to be a great time. So drop by themagicforless.com, let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and we're going to be planning the next Disney trip together right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1143 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Boom, we made it to another weekend. Happy Friday to you. And we're going to answer more of your listener questions. We've got a lot of them, so we are going to get through as many as we can. It's the best way to start off the weekend, answer your questions about Disney destinations. So joining me today to talk a little Disney and answer some questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky.
Happy Friday, and I love my podcast family. That's all I'm going to say, but I love you all.
We love our Facebook Live audience, too. You guys rock. You make it fun.
That's right. Absolutely. 100%.
That's right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Welcome to that weekend, Pam. I know you love your weekends.
I do. I don't know why, because it's kind of like the week for me, only extended, but I still like it. I love the weekends. And you know, it's spring is springing. It hasn't quite sprung yet. So love that. And I love our podcast family too. And I love that our Facebook Live participants get to participate so well
in our crazy antics
and see that this is truly what we are really like. Yeah. So we're keeping it real.
Nothing changes. That's right. So, hey, you want to get on the fun next Monday? You know what I'm saying? After this weekend on Monday, just drop in at around 6:30 Eastern over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. But we're heading down under, and we're taking a question from Sandra. It says, hello, Mike and ladies. I am currently in the infancy stages of planning a 90-day trip to the United States next year, of which there will be quite a bit of time at Walt Disney World, which at this point in time is solo. I've been to the world many times before and am quite comfortable with all the planning that goes into it. But I have a question about my actual stay, as the longest I have ever stayed previously was 16 days. At this point, I have mapped out that I would be in Orlando from August 31st to the 24th of September or thereabouts. I know I can't have one continuous booking for all of that time and am working with the best way to split it. So she gives us three options. Okay, so she's staying there. It confuses me when people put their numbers in front of their months. We've got to do it American style. You know? So, so we're talking 31 of August to the 24th of September. Option one is 14 days at Pop Century with package tickets that I would then upgrade to an annual pass on arrival. 11 days at the Boardwalk Villas by renting points from a DVC owner. For a long time, I've wanted to stay at the Boardwalk, but the cost is prohibitive for me. Okay, that's option one. Option two, the whole time at Pop Century, but breaking it into two stays with the hope that I can stay in the same room. Or option three, 14 days at Pop Century with package tickets that I would then upgrade to an annual pass on arrival and 11 days off-site. And let me finish what she says here. I guess the what if in all of this is, if Disney offers free dining over this period, would I be better to just stay at Pop and take full advantage of eating for free? But if I do this, can I put two package tickets towards the annual pass? Or if I have two packages back to back, is it even worth upgrading to an annual pass, as I probably won't be back within 12 months? All right, so let's stop there. So she got the, well, here's what I say off the top. Okay, so if you're staying there that long, and Pam, I know you pretty much, we think alike on this, that the resort is part of the experience. So I would definitely do a split stay. And what I would say is, the free dining kind of throws a wrinkle into this, but I would try to do something like a Pop at a Coronado or a Pop in a Riverside or something along those lines. What, you know, I guess, yeah, I would upgrade to an annual pass. I mean, you're going to be there for so long, but maybe not. I don't know, Pam, what do you think?
So I agree. And here's a lot of things to think about. First of all, when you rent points, you're not eligible for things like free dining and stuff like that. So that always throws another added aspect into the trip. And one of the things that I thought of is, you know, when you look at buying a 10-day pass from Disney, if you add water parks, fun and more, which is not water parks fun and more, but you know what I'm talking
Park
about
Hopper
now.
Plus.
Let's just say, yes, thank you. It will always be water parks fun and more though. But anyways, the water parks without the fun and more is that you actually get 14 days worth of entry into parks. Now, they're not all the main theme parks, but you get 10 days into the main theme parks, and then you still have 4 days left of admission into the water parks, because again, tickets have to be used within 14 days of the first day of use. So think about that, you know, when you're throwing all that in. But I kind of like what Mike suggested. If you are going a time when free dining is traditionally offered, then a great way to take advantage of that may be to break your stay into something at a value and then move over to a moderate, because then you would be eligible for the free dining for both. And that may be a good way to handle it. Now, the other wrinkle, here's another wrinkle, is that most oftentimes the free dining packages do require a ticket purchase, but I still think you could make that work given the number of days that you're with, that you're going to be there. I mean, it's a lot of time. And I might actually consider spending some time offsite, because there's other attractions in the Orlando and Florida area that you may want to explore. And it'll just be less expensive to do that, or there'll be benefits of doing that. For instance, if you're thinking of looking at Universal, you may want to stay at one of their on-site hotels to get the Express Pass benefits. If you're thinking of visiting, you know, SeaWorld or Busch Gardens or anything like that, you may want to pick a hotel that's a little closer to those. And you might want to actually consider exploring some of the great beaches located in Florida. I mean, you have beaches on the Gulf side and then on the other side too. So there's so many great things. I just think for a trip that long, you have the option and the ability to explore some other locations, and you may want to consider doing that.
Yeah, and actually she goes on to say in the next paragraph, for the second part of the trip, I plan on renting a car and visiting the park that shall not be named. And that's exactly, I didn't say that, she did. Along with doing a lot of shopping while also hitting Food and Wine. I'm sure there are plenty of other options and would appreciate your thoughts on these as well as what I have listed. Thanks for all you do. Cheers, Sandra. All right, Ricky, so let's close out Sandra's email. So what do you say? I mean, I would say, I'm going all in with like a Pop Century, Coronado, or just any moderate Riverside split save in French Quarter. And then I wouldn't even worry about the annual pass. I'd just get the ticket on both. If, I mean, now we're assuming this is on a free dining kind of option, which it may well not be at all, but I still think you're fine there. If I didn't have free dining, I'd upgrade to an annual pass, obviously.
Right. Well, yeah.
I still think that, I don't know, is it, I think the annual pass might be a good option, though, all things considered. Couldn't she upgrade to the annual pass once she was here still, too? So, because it sounds like she's going, well, I don't know. It depends on if she's going to go, you know, 10 days or more to the park. I guess that would make the difference. If she's planning on going elsewhere than, you know, to Universal or, you know, to the beach or to wherever, then that would make a difference as well. So it really depends on how many days she's looking at spending in the park. And that's going to be the crux of the issue for me anyway. But I mean, yeah, I would probably stay at a moderate if it was me. Because you'd have a little bit better of, you know, for that long of time, you'd have a little bit better of a room. But then you'd also, you know, like you wouldn't have a Pop Century room, which, you know, sometimes the beds are kind of hard there, that kind of thing.
They're not hard. They're just short. Not hard.
That too. They are short.
They're close to all four walls. That's what I like to say.
Yes.
All right. Well, enjoy your time here in the States. That's awesome. You get to make the trip and do write us when you get back and let us know what you decided and how it went. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, because I think the greatest thing you can have at Walt Disney World is the gift of time to be able to slow down and really relax. Like, you know, even with a trip that long, you're going to get to like 5 days to go, 4 days to go, and you're going to kind of get that Disney panic, I like to call it. Like, oh man, you know, time's running short. But maybe not with, you know, she's here for over 3 weeks. I mean, that's a lot of time. All right, Harrison's
got...
It's
a lot of time.
It is, but I mean, still, yeah, it'd be fun, though. I'd like to try it. Harrison's got the next question. Hey there, love the podcast. Wanted to know your thoughts on a Disney vacation that is less than 5 days. A little background. I'm lucky enough to have been to Disney World pretty much every year since I was 12. My wife and I got engaged there, had our honeymoon there, and now we celebrate my best friend's engagement there. My best friend and his fiance haven't been in a long time, so I was wondering, what do you all recommend on doing considering our vacation is 4 days, including incoming and outgoing flights? We want to stay close to Epcot. We are all 23 to 26 years old and are planning on being there from September 6th through the 10th. Food and Wine Festival is a must. Thanks for all that you guys do, Harrison. All right, Ricky, this one's right up your alley. First, you're the closest to that age. And second, you do a lot of trips that are around 4 days. So what do you say?
I do. And you know what? I can manage to fit everything, just about everything in. Every once in a while, I'll miss something. But usually I can kind of cram it all within that 4 day time period. I would say to do, you know, Disney's Animal Kingdom or, well, yeah, because, well, when they're going in
September, early September.
So Pandora will be open. So that may change what I will say in the future. but I would at least do Disney's Hollywood Studios as a half day, you know, just because they're, again, the park is so in flux right now. And at that, the age that they're in, I think that they could get a lot. They're probably going to be going for most of the thrill attractions, that kind of thing. So I would say that you could probably get Disney's Hollywood Studios done in half a day. Definitely spend a full day at Epcot. And, you know, it's going to be tough because, of course, you're wanting to spend a full day at the Magic Kingdom. But now we do have Avatar and, you know, that's throwing a, you know, wrench in. So I might do, here's what I would do. When they arrive, it depends on what time they arrive. Then I would go to Disney's Animal Kingdom that night, experience all that stuff. Then I would go to, you know, either the Magic Kingdom or Epcot the next day. Then I would go to the other park the day after that. And then I would go to Disney's Hollywood Studios the morning and until you have to leave. That's what I would do.
Sounds like fine. Pam, anything to add to that?
I think that, you know, what you guys suggested is great. But I think, you know, as typical, like Ricky mentioned, I think that Hollywood Studios, you can do as a half day park. My only suggestion is to make sure you do it the second half of the day, because then you'll get to see the fireworks too.
Oh, that's true.
And I like Animal Kingdom in the morning because the animals are typically a little more active at that time. And, you know, it's just, I feel like it's a better time to go to really get stuff done. So if I were you, I would go ahead and schedule my Animal Kingdom time in the morning. And I would save my fast passes for or Hollywood Studios in the afternoon, evening, and just get done when I can at Animal Kingdom without using any of my FastPass Plus reservations.
But how about that boat ride stuff we've been seeing with the bioluminescent stuff? Oh, that's going to be awesome. I cannot wait.
I know.
I'm so excited.
I know. There's so many things I'm really looking forward to. And I know Ricky brought up a great point about the fact that it's going to be open. And there's just going to be, I think that's going to put a monkey wrench into everything, because we're really going to see now with the nighttime shows, with the, you know, everything else there. Are you going to want to spend all day at Animal Kingdom? And
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see for sure.
Well, see, Animal Kingdom to me now is a night park for sure. I mean, like, because, I mean, think about it.
It is, because there are some great things.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've done, because it's been a day park for so long. You know what I'm saying? Since its whole existence, it's always been a day park to me. And I want to do the nighttime safari. I want to see the awakening at the Tree of Life. I want to see Pandora at night, right? You know, see Rivers of Light. Because the thing is, it seems like everything new is geared towards nighttime, which... It's a new experience for me, but I know what you're saying. I mean, you got to make trade-offs, and it's a good thing, but it totally contradicts the way we've always been thinking that you can get into Animal Kingdom at rope drop and be out of there after lunchtime, and then, you know, that's where you kind of make up time with, like, a Disney Springs in the evening, kind of do two things that day, or, you know, go to another park that evening. You really do have to kind of train yourself to think in a different way once Avatar comes online.
You do.
Yep.
You do. That's just how it is.
All right. We're going to Plainfield, Indiana for the next question. Wendy says, hi. Thanks for answering questions each week. I'm a first-time visitor to Walt Disney World and am trying to plan the best trip I can. You know what, Wendy? We're all trying to do that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's kind of what we all do. My question is about Memory Maker. Is it worth it given that my kid is not going to get autographs or get within 10 feet of a character? He's afraid. Plus, I don't like ride photos. Is it still worth $150+, or is it just going to be the same photo of my family with only a different sight in the background? Thanks, Wendy. All right, Wendy. Well, we did a whole show on Memory Maker last Friday. So you don't want on-ride photos. Don't like those. Kid doesn't like the characters, so I guess those are out. We're really kind of, you know, we're cheerleaders for Memory Maker last Friday. But in this instance, Ricky, you might just be okay skipping it if those two things are the instance that's true for her family.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. You know, if you're not going to be meeting the characters, you miss out on obviously a lot of the photographs that Disney would be taking, because they take so many while you're, you know, like you said, Mike, when you were talking about it, before you meet the character, you know, like right at before you meet the character, and then as you're meeting the character and giving them hugs, and then after you meet the character, and of course the pose picture too. So you are missing a lot of images in that regard. You know, the one thing that you may want is something like the magic shots, where they will input the you know, some sort of character in with your image. So, you know, like Olaf or, you know, Pascal or, you know, Tinkerbell or something like that. That might be some reason if that was something that you were interested in. But I'm kind of with you, Mike. I'm thinking maybe you skip it.
Yeah, it's so hard. Yeah, because those are some of the pluses. I mean, you know, I know the magic shots and little videos are fun, but I don't know if they're $150 fun.
Yeah, I don't know if they're $150 fun. Yeah.
So I guess we'll say skip it. I don't know. You know, it's kind of hard to say. It's I guess I would say that. All right, Michael's got the next question. Hello, BOGP crew. This is Michael from Indianapolis. We're big in Indiana today. My family and I will be traveling down to Walt Disney World in early August for a week's stay at the Polynesian. My family consists of my wife and three kids. They're 10, 8, and 7, and we're big roller coaster enthusiasts. I have one question. What is your plan in attacking the three Magic Kingdom Mountains and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in your Magic Kingdom day without being overwhelmed for the rest of the day? Also, which of these rides are your favorite, not so favorite? Thanks so much for the podcast. I enjoy swiping down in the iTunes app, hoping there is a new BOG podcast to listen to. You know what? I can relate to that. I love when I see, like, this past week, we've got a couple of Wedway radios. You know what? And I was like, yes. You know, I swiped down. Unexpected surprise. So thanks for putting those out, guys, over in KC. And, yeah, good stuff. So we appreciate that you said that about our show, Michael. So attacking the, she's looking at the mountains. So we're talking Space, Splash. I guess Splash. It's not a roller coaster, but it kind of threw me off there for a second. I'm like, oh, Splash? No, it's not a roller coaster. Big Thunder, and then we got Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Pam, how would you go about it? What's the order you would take this? Say we're going at rope drop. What are you doing? What's your plan to hit all four?
So I'm going to make my fast pass for Seven Dwarfs, because that's definitely going to be the most, I'll avoid the most line by using my fast pass for that. And I'm probably going to set it up at some time to late morning to early afternoon. Actually, I'm probably going to go early afternoon. And I'm going to try to get Big Thunder and Space Mountain done in the morning. I don't think that I'll have a big problem with that. And Splash Mountain, depending on, you know, when you're there, sometimes the line is almost non-existent. Like, if it's a chillier day, the line's not, it typically is not that bad. So, again, I don't think it'll be too bad to try to get that under your belt too. I think that none of the mountains at Disney are so intense that it will impact your day. If I have one that I'm not that fond of, it's Space Mountain, just because that I do get a little bit of motion sickness on that attraction. But the other ones I could ride again and again and be fine. I think they're really mild compared to that. And then I think, you know, pick and choose some of the other attractions that are going to have some other longer waits in which to use your fast passes. You'll make some good choices based on what your family wants. There's lots of great attractions at the Magic Kingdom that don't have much of a wait, you know, because it's a show or because they just don't have a huge wait. And you can fill in around that, make time to see some shows. I think that it's great to get the rides that are going to be the most popular, and the mountains are certainly popular, done in the beginning of the day if you can. And then save that Fast Pass Plus for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And you can do that anytime during the day that fits your schedule.
Yep. My tip, simply, just like you said, Fast Pass Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, rope drop, go straight to Space Mountain, and then do Splash Mountain second, do Big Thunder third, and then, you know, Seven Dwarfs when you can get to it. Because I think Big Thunder's the one, between Splash and Big Thunder, Big Thunder's going to go quicker on a hot day, and they're going to be down there while it's hot. So, Ricky, anything else to add to this four mountain or three mountain in a mine train dilemma?
No, you know, I think that obviously I would fast pass. For me, what I usually do is I fast pass Seven Dwarfs if I can get it. And then Space. And then, depending on the time of the day, I will ride. Usually, at night, you can usually get on Splash pretty easily. So I will typically do that at night. And then, especially even in the hot times. And then I will get a fast pass for Big Thunder. But Big Thunder is the one that I can take or leave sometimes. So that's the one that I'm like, if I miss it, I miss it.
All right, well, have a good time. Next question is coming from Christy. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My husband and I are headed down to the World July 1st through the 8th. Our daughters, who are 7 and 9, will be going with us. It confused me. I thought they were going to say will not, but they are. We are trying to decide whether to stay at the Beach Club or the Boardwalk. Despite my research, we still have not made a decision. Both pools look like they have a fun slide for kids. Any advice from the BOGP crew? Thanks for your time. I love listening to the show. All right, so you got Beach Club or Boardwalk, Pam. And the girls are 7 and 9. Where are you going?
I'm going to the Beach Club. That pool area is just, you know, really spectacular with the sand bottom pool. It's humongous. You can spend a couple different days there at the pool. And if you're in different areas of the pool, you'll feel like you're at a completely different pool. I mean, it's really a spectacular pool. It has a great water slide. A little intimidating because you have to climb up all those stairs to get to where the slide starts, but it's really not scary once you do it. So don't worry too much about that. And I just think, you know, there's something about the Beach Club that I think really appeals to kids. Not that the Boardwalk doesn't, because it does as well, but there's just something about that Beach Club and the Beach Club pool. So that would be my choice.
Yeah, in typical Be Our Guest podcast fashion, I'm going to throw in Boardwalk so that it makes your decision impossible to make if you listen to us. Just because I have a 9-year-old girl and she is begging to go back to the Boardwalk. She loved it. Ample Hills is down there. She loved walking around the Boardwalk itself. She absolutely loved the slide at the Boardwalk pool. She's not a big fan. She's like her dad. I don't like the tubey slides, you know, the ones where you're in a tube. I'm always scared. I'm always scared I'm going to hit my head, knock myself out, and like just a carcass is going to come out.
I'm not scared of that. I just have a huge fear of enclosed spaces. So when I'm like inside a tube like that, I feel like I'm in a coffin, and that's a whole other issue. So
I'm just scared I'm going to get knocked out, and the lifeguard won't be able to know till like my dead body slides out the bottom of the slide into the pool like a spaghetti noodle. You know,
When I was in Aulani, they have a slide that's enclosed. And I almost had a panic attack in that slide. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna pass out. Like, it seriously was so bad.
But I mean, you're right. Pam's right, though. It's fun over at Beach Club. And you cannot beat that pool. So, Ricky, what do you say? You have the tie-breaking vote. I had to beat that person.
I do. I'm going to go Beach Club.
That's fine.
I think that, again, even though I have issues with enclosed slides, I still think that it has an awesome, awesome play area there. You've got the sand bottom pool, which I think is perfect for playing in. So I'm going to go with Beach Club. So tiebreaker was easy for me.
Yeah, you can't go wrong either way. It's awesome.
All right. You can't.
Autumn has the next question. My husband and I just booked a trip to Walt Disney World for next December, the 16th to the 23rd. This will be our first trip together. We've each been once separately. He went when he was 12 and I went when I was 19. So we have very different experiences. I'm a huge Disney fan, and while he likes it, I can tell he isn't nearly as excited as me. For the most part, and how many of our listeners, raise your hand if you can relate, if you're in one of those relationships. My wife can tell me. For the most part, I'll be planning the trip, but I want to make sure to include things he will really enjoy. Hopefully after this trip, he'll have the same love for the parks that I do. We're on the Disney dining plan, and we're staying at Art of Animation. We both really enjoy food and trying new things, and this may be our only time in the park together before we have kids. My question is this. Is it worth it to get a reservation at a signature restaurant and use two table service credits? The two restaurants I'm considering are California Grill and Yachtsman Steakhouse. We would only do one since it will take two credits each. If so, which restaurant would you suggest? Wherever we dine, my husband will be ordering the steak. Thanks so much for taking the time to read my question. I love the show, and it is definitely going to help in my planning. Best wishes, Autumn. All right, Ricky, so... Because if you've been in the Disney community for any length of time, or really for a long time, there's kind of been this mantra that you should never use the Disney dining plan on a signature meal because it doesn't make sense. However, I say you're on the Disney dining plan, you have X amount of entitlements, use them however you want. If that Yachtsman Steakhouse or California Grill meal is going to be something that you really enjoy and that you're going to make memories because this is going to be a nice fancy meal before you decide to have kids, I don't have any issues with that at all because they're yours to use however you like. And if it's something you're getting enjoyment out of, you don't have to listen to what everybody else says. I mean, it doesn't always have to be like, you know, figuring out the math to the nearest cent. That kind of stuff drives me crazy. It's big picture. Are you having a good time for what you paid? That's what it's about. So, Ricky, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you want to go with, yeah, I absolutely think you should go with it. So, you know, it's totally your prerogative. And as far as what I'm going to say, probably the unpopular opinion and say to go to Yachtsman. The reason behind that is because of the last sentence that she said. He will order the steak. And I've been to Yachtsman and I've had their steak and it is fantastic. So if that's really like what they're going for, and those are the choices, then and you're trying to appeal to him and his sensibilities, I would probably choose Yachtsman. Although I know that you've got the view of California Grill, but I still think if you're going for the food is the best way into the heart of a man. So I'm going with Yachtsman because I had the porterhouse I was like a 72-ounce steak. I'm not going to lie. I totally got it because I was on the dining plan and we went there. We did do the two credit thing and it was the best steak I've had. And it's still one clearly that I talk about. So I would go there.
Did you say 72-ounce steak? You got your name on the wall or something if you finished
clearly,
that thing or
something? I didn't eat the whole thing. I don't think it's 72. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. All I know is it was a huge steak. It was a very, very large steak. It had both halves. It had the strip and the filet part. So it was a very large steak. That's all I can say. It was delicious. And it was well worth every penny that I didn't spend on it because it was free dining at the time. So,
hey, Google, what's 72 divided by 16? How many pounds of meat is that? All right, Pam, what do you say? I know you're a California
girl. Probably super exaggerating, but
Well, so I'm going to say that I would pay out of pocket to eat at a signature restaurant, unless you're doing the deluxe dining plan. Now, this doesn't sound like the deluxe dining plan would benefit you, but we've had a lot of guests who really are interested at dining in a lot of the signature locations and a lot of character meals. And the deluxe dining ended up saving them a ton of money just because of this fact. I don't think that sounds like that'll work for you, since you're really only looking at two different meals to use those signature dining credits for. But I just think that you're better off paying the difference and maybe using your dining credits for something else, unless you truly aren't going to use them for anything else. But I can't see that happening. I think you're better off pay for it out of pocket, enjoy your dining credits in other ways. And there are also, if really what your husband's looking for is a great steak, there are some good one credit locations mm-hmm. to find steak too. Or you may want to consider, this wasn't on your list, and just like Ricky mentioned something on one that wasn't on your list, I will too. The Boathouse has great steaks yep. as well. So consider that one too.
All right, good stuff. We're setting them up and we're knocking them down. Rachel's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Longtime listener, first-time rider from Massachusetts. My husband and I are current annual pass holders and making the most out of taking our little girl before she turns 3. Well done. I booked Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, Category 1, for August, which is new to us. First question, since I had to prepay for the tickets, how will I get the Tables in Wonderland discount? All right, Pam, so how's it work for Tables in Wonderland if you've prepaid for a meal?
So if you had Tables in Wonderland, you should be able to get that discount now before you show up. So call them back on that to see if they will go ahead and offer you the Tables in Wonderland discount for that.
And if not, just tell them the night you're there, because they can see.
They should refund it to you. But
yep. And second, we are doing this on the day we arrive. So how do I pick up our tickets? Should I try to pick them up somewhere when I am going for a mini trip in June? And what time do I need to be there? Thanks for all your help, Rachel. Does it say what time the show starts or the meal? No, it doesn't say. So, Ricky, I've never done Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. It's always something I've wanted to do, and I never get to it. I don't think any of us have we?
I'm surprised. If any of us have done it, it's Pam. So, guess not. Nope.
All right. You know what? We'll put that on the Facebook page today. So, if you have
But no need to pick up your tickets early.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it? I would imagine it's kind of a setup,
like
kind of similar
to the
luau, right? Where you just go there. Yeah. So, I wouldn't worry about that. But we'll throw that up there anyway. All right, so Kimmy's got the next question. Hey, BOGP crew, thanks for brightening up my daily commute with your humor and Disney knowledge. We have humor. Listen to that. It's pretty cool.
We do.
We try.
We do.
I look forward to each and every podcast. Keep up the amazing work. My name is Kim from New York. My name is Kim from York, Pennsylvania. Is that close to you, Pam?
No. It is not. It's on the other side of the state.
Are you gonna tell us your state's like 7 hours wide and all that stuff again? I love that.
Once upon a time, I had to walk to school.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know?
It was uphill both ways and snowing.
It's a big rectangle, Mike. You don't have to ask every city. Is it next to Pittsburgh? Anyway, my family of four plans to visit the world in December of 2017. I receive a corporate discount from my job for Disney theme park tickets. I was wondering if I could take one of my discounted tickets and turn it into an annual pass to take advantage of the resort and dining discounts as well as the included memory maker. I know I would pay the difference of the ticket versus the annual pass, but would I be paying based off the discounted purchase price or what Disney retails this ticket for off their website? Thanks again for all you do. I appreciate your advice, Kim. All right. So, yeah, some corporations do this. They'll sell as like a corporate incentive discounted tickets. But are any of those able to be upgraded, Pam? Because I know Disney's pretty particular about what kind of passes can be upgraded and cannot.
It would really depend on that. We just don't have enough information on that. And some of those ones through those programs advertise a discount and then it's not really a discount. I mean, I hate to say that, but we've had guests come to us and be like, well, my company offers the tickets for this. And it's like, well, that's rack. I mean, that's the price. So, I mean, you know what I mean? So check on all those things. But oftentimes, tickets with some kind of major discount are not able to be upgraded. So that's something that you're going to have to call the Disney ticket office to check with them and see, and get the name of whomever you talk to.
Yeah, and if you could upgrade it, if it is able to be upgraded, most likely in that instance, you're going to get you're going to have to pay the difference in what you paid for. You're not going to get the retail price. You know, you're not going to come out ahead that way, for sure, I would say. They're going to know.
That's what I would guess, too.
Yeah, because you know what? Because I'm a member of the NEA, being a teacher, and I got an email the other day about the four-day ticket that's, you know, become available lately, and it was, you know, like a big old headline, like it was discounted Disney tickets. It's the same price. It's the exact same thing you said, so it's available to the general public. Good try, though, because everybody's asking me. I'm like, yeah, that's the same thing. Anyway. All right, so they didn't get me. They didn't get this guy, so there you go. Courtney has the next question. Hey, Pam, Ricky, and Mike, love listening to the show, especially as a former cast member. It keeps me in the know. We love our cast members. I have a question for y'all. I'm running the 10K over Prince this weekend, so I will be able to see Rivers of Light while I'm down there. She wrote this one a little bit ago. I'm also a new member of the Lizard Running Squad. I saw that there are dining packages available for the show at Tiffin's and Tusker House. I've never done a dining package before, so do I have to do anything special to get the seating, or do I just have to eat there that day? Hope this makes sense. Go Cats. Thanks for answering my question. Courtney's down in Louisville, Kentucky. All right, Ricky, tell us about the Rivers of Light dining package. How's that work? Like, do they give you assigned seats? Do you just have to eat in one of those restaurants that day? How do you make sure you have the dining package?
So you do have to book the actual Rivers of Light dining package. You will have to contact Disney about the dining package in order to be able to take part in that. So that's I think the biggest question that most people have right now with the Rivers of Light dining package. Again, like she said, you can choose either Tiffin's or you can choose Tusker House. There's basically a special seating section. So what happens is after you dine at the restaurant and you know, they'll know that you're on the Rivers of Light dining package. And if they don't, then, you know, make sure you let them know. But you will get a card that they will give you, and you will take it when you go to get in line and go to enter the theater. They will take that card from you, and I think they rip it, and then you can go sit down in the seating area for the dining section. I'm not 100% sure which part of the theater the dining section is in offhand. I know that they've seen some graphics online. I should probably work on something like that. So I'm not 100% sure on where that is. So I do know that that's kind of how the dining package works. You do need to make sure you arrive about 15 to 35 minutes prior to showtime. Otherwise, you might not get in, even if you've paid for the dining package, because seating is first come, first serve. And the side of the theater, at least, that you need to enter is on the Dinoland USA side. So that's also something to keep in mind.
So is this, Pam, I know you said you're going to be down there very, very soon, and this is something you're looking into doing, right?
Yes, I was. I'm not anymore. Oh. We had kind of a home.
No, say it ain't so. That's true. You weren't bragging. I was going to say, you didn't say like, I'm at Disney World. So yeah, I was like, hey, what's
up? Yes, I know. It's kind of sad. But anyways, you know, if you're a homeowner, you know that sometimes there are issues that come up that require you to stay home. So we're rescheduling at a time that is more convenient, meaning there's not construction going to be going on at my house, because right now we have a construction issue due to an upstairs bathroom. Lots of fun. But anyways, but yes, this is absolutely something I was totally looking forward to, because I love Tiffin so much. In fact, I had a chat with one of our listeners on IM not too long ago. It was Brianna, and we chatted a bit about eating at Tiffin's and for the Rivers of Light package. And I said to her, I have two words for you. Leek ash. Hello. It was on my plate. It was leek ash, and you drug your lamb through it and then ate it, and it was awesome. But anyways, Tiffin's is, you know, really for right now, it's a great value right now at Tiffin's for the Rivers of Light package. And, you know, you can't say that very often at Disney. So make your plans early and make your plans often, because you got to take advantage of any kind of great value at Disney. So this is a great opportunity to actually save money on some of the Tiffin's menu items. So, yeah, look into it if you're going soon.
So did I tell you about our kitchen remodel that we have going on here at the Be Our Guest podcast mansion? Did you hear
me?
Yeah, so I was sitting at the old kitchen table. It's not
a mansion,
by the way. We have kind of a really small house. So anyway, I'm sitting at the kitchen table just doing some work on my laptop on a Friday night, super windy a couple weeks ago. I mean, it wasn't raining, but we had a wind warning. You know, the winds were like 50 miles an hour. It was crazy. I'm sitting there like at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday night, just kind of, you know, getting some work done before I'm going to bed, because I stay up really late. You know, crazy on a Friday night, I might be up till 10:30. I'm so old. Boom! I thought our house was hit by an airplane. I am not kidding. It sounded like the biggest clap of thunder. Mallory jumps up. Pam jumps up. What happened? A tree came down and fell right through our roof into the kitchen. Like, the thing was poking through my kitchen ceiling looking at me, the tree. So, yeah. So, we've had those issues, too. I didn't get to go to Disney World either. I was going to go this weekend, but I couldn't go either. So, I'm right. sympathy there. Good news is we're getting a new roof, so...
That's, I know. Well, yes, we're getting a new ceiling, so we'll see what happens. I know, fun stuff, right?
That scared the crud out of me, man. I seriously thought, because we live by the airport, I thought we got hit by an airplane because I saw something poking through. I didn't want to look. I mean, the tree branch was like all the way through. I'm like, oh no, what is that? Oh, so anyway, that's the adventures here in Florissant, Missouri for everybody. All right, time for the last question of the day before we have any more comments that are just dumb. Tanya says, hello, I've been listening to the show for about a year thanks to hearing Mike on the Let's Run Disney podcast. I've even joined the Lizards, though I have not had a chance to meet anyone yet. I need advice. I'm planning on going Dopey again in 2018. My last Disney visit and race was Dopey 2014. Here's the thing. My husband is not a fan of rooms that open outside. We've stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter the first trip for Marathon 2013, and he still talks about how much he didn't like it. That's a long time to be talking about it. Granted, we had a pool view, so the pool music could easily be heard in the room, and the grounds guys doing their thing in the morning was an issue as well. For Dopey 2014, we did Beach Club. He loved the hotel in proximity to Epcot, our favorite park, but he about choked at the price. This time, we'll have our 14-month-old son in tow. I'm thinking Art of Animation because it looks like rooms don't open outside and themes are awesome for a kid. The other thing I was thinking was a monorail resort for ease with the little guy, but that would take some convincing. Okay, what are your suggestions? I need pros and cons to present to my husband. Thanks in advance, Tanya. Tanya, I think you're onto the right. Art of Animation Family Suite, it's the way to go. You know, it's cheaper than a monorail resort. 14-month-old little guy is going to love it. The themings that everybody likes, Art of Animation, good food court. You're sacrificing the ease of transportation. You have the inside door. So it's kind of, you know, your husband really can't balk at that. He gets his inside door, and he also gets a price that's not going to choke him like a deluxe. Pam, what do you say?
Yeah, I said that's what I would choose too. As long as you're staying in the family suites, the Little Mermaid rooms do open to the outdoors just like everything else. Although I will give you everything, all the other rooms at a value do open to outdoor quarters. I will give you a heads up though, the grounds crew, those can impact you regardless of where you're staying, I will say, because even at the deluxe resorts, you're going to have a balcony or patio that opens to the outdoors. And, you know, those grounds crews, they can start a little early. They got to keep everything looking magical, and it takes all day for that. So just be aware of that. But all the other issues that you mentioned, you should be fine.
Hey, get up at 5 in the morning, you beat them all every time. You know what? That's what you gotta do. So
you could be at Rope Drop.
You could. You know, the only other thing I would think about is maybe like a Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge, because it's not as expensive as like a Beach Club or Boardwalk or anything like that. But I think Art of Animation's where to go this time. Ricky, anything else?
Nope. You guys covered it pretty well.
Well, that's good. You know what? Because we're out of time.
You know what we're talking about.
Who would have thought?
We've done this a time or two. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget that you can send in your questions to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and we'll get those on the show right away. It's Friday, so we're brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel Concierge Level Service. Each and every time you fill out that quote form, just drop by themagicforless.com today. There's an easy button to see all the specials and to see all the resort guides and to get a lot of information before you, you know, if you don't have an idea of what you're looking for, you can kind of see the value, moderate, deluxe resorts, lots of great pictures, room layouts, reviews and so forth. And then once you're ready, you know, because it doesn't hurt. Just fill out that free no obligation quote form. An agent will get back to you right away. And you can see, you know, is it in the cards? Maybe you need to shift the time of year to save a little money. Maybe you're looking to avoid the heat or the crowds. That's what these agents do. They're experts in Disney trip planning, and they're going to help you plan that next Disney vacation. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. We're also brought to you by our great friend Drew Breaker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, support the folks who support us and give Drew Breaker a call at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at AmeriPriseAdvisors.com/drew.baker. And don't forget, you can give us a follow on the social media. We love talking to everybody, especially on the weekends. Drop by Instagram or Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group. Lots of Disney fans there talking Disney each and every day over at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, it's the weekend. It's time to clean up that house. You need cleaning supplies. If you order them today, they'll be there by Monday. Go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, whatever you're shopping for. Go through that link. It gives us a little bit of support. Costs you exactly the same. Again, thanks to everybody who's supporting the show through the Amazon link at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, well, it's time to get on with your weekend. Thanks so much for dropping in and kicking it off here by talking some Disney with us. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, please stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.